The fourth reading of Parshas Vayetze begins chapter 30 at verse 14. So this is a painful parsha, the parsha of Rachel and Leah in competition with each other. It's an imperfect situation that seems to continuously deteriorate. Leah has children, Rachel does not. Rachel finally decides to do what Sarah did, to bring her maidservant into the house, and somehow, by doing that, earning Hashem's grace by being gracious. And then Leah immediately tries the same thing because she wants to have more children. And the fourth reading opens in the field. Reuven is a little boy. According to the Radak, he's 7 years old. Sepharno says he's 4 or 5 at most, which means the entirety of the third reading and the early development of Yaakov's family is just documented in a couple of years. The babies are born one after the other. Vayelech Reuven, the eldest of the children of Yaakov, goes off b'yemei k'tzir chitim, in the day of the harvest, the season of the wheat harvest. Vayimtza dudoyim, we're going to translate that as mandrakes. He finds mandrakes in the field. Basoda. Vayova yoysem el Leah imay. He brings these mandrakes to his mother Leah. And then Reuven's out of the picture. And the next picture, yeah, sweet boy, nice, brings his mama flowers, very nice. The next thing is Rachel seeing this. Vatoymer Rachel, Rachel says el Leah, Tano li midudoi b'nech. Give me some of those mandrakes. What's going on here? A maisa with mandrakes. So Rashi says that, first off, this business with the mandrakes has to be appreciated. You have to appreciate this. Because the season in which it happens, which is b'mei k'tzir chitim, the Torah emphasizes when it happened, not only what happened, but when it happened. And that is Lahagid Shivchan Shel Shvatim. The Torah wants to broadcast the praise of the tribes. She'es HaKotzir Hoya, it's the time of the harvest. And invariably, in the time of the harvest, the fields are overflowing with freshly cut grain. With all kinds of things. It's a busy season. There's lots available. And despite the fact that this is the case, Leiposhat Yodei Begozel, Reuven did not reach in a way which would lack integrity, in a way which would ultimately be tantamount to theft. Lahavi Chitim Usa'irim, to bring wheat, or certainly barley, because first the harvest begins with barley. And that happens right away on Pesach, we know. And then the wheat is only later on Shavuot. So there would have been lots of barley around, and certainly wheat around. So there's already an abundant harvest. And Reuven could take whatever he wants. He's a little kid. He's 4 or 5 years old. Who's going to stop him? Maybe 7 at most. He weasel his way in and weasel his way out. And he could take a little present, bring home a gift for his mama. But he doesn't do that. Ella, instead, when he wants to bring something home to please his mother, he brings Dover HaHefker, something which is ownerless. She'ein Odom Makbid Bay, something which people don't care. I don't care if I take mandrakes in my field. I'm a wheat farmer. I'm a barley farmer. Don't take my harvest. Mandrakes? Mandrakes. They grow wild. So we know something about Reuven. We know something about the Shvatim. We can see that Yaakov Avinu is living in the house of Lavan, who is a corrupt, thieving, lying, dishonest individual. No integrity whatsoever. And yet, the small children that Yaakov raises, despite the fact that he's always out there working, somehow already have absorbed his values. And they know we don't take things which don't belong to us. We found something similar with the camels of Avraham Avinu, if you remember. When Eliezer went with the camels, even the camels looked different because they were muzzled. So we see clearly for the patriarchs, honesty and integrity was a very big deal. Very big deal. And they raised their children that way, they ran the house that way. In fact, this is the third episode in which we see them being very, very faithful. Faithful to morals and honesty and integrity. Lot and Avram have a falling out. What's it based on? Lot's taking other people's things. Avram says, I can't live with that. That's actually why Lot and Avram divided. Avram's camels were noticeable. And here we see, in Yaakov's time, his honesty and his integrity. All right, that's a little bit of a sidebar, actually. Getting on to the main show, the Dudoyim. So the Gemara says, Sigle. There's two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is Sigle. And Rashi says, Esavu. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin on page 99 says, that is a kind of vegetation, kind of grass. Ubalashin Yishmael, in Arabic, it's called Yasmin, which sounds like jasmine, but nonetheless, it seems that the translation we follow is mandrix. Okay, what's up with the mandrix? And why does Rachel want the mandrix? And why doesn't Leah want to give the mandrix? Verse 15, Vatoymer lo, she says back, Hama'at kachtech es ishi, is it not bad enough that you took my husband? V'lokach has gam es dudoy bni, now you want to take the mandrix of my husband too? My son? Vatoymer Rachel, Rachel says, Lachain yishkavim b'chalayla, all right, fine. So then you spend the night with Yaakov. And that'll be tachas dudoy bnech. That'll be in lieu of the mandrakes. Torah speaks about this in very, there's no romance here. There's no, this is very functional, very technical. You call it a reality show. I mean, it was reality. He says, that's it. No problem. If that's the issue, you feel I'm encroaching, I'm taking away the little bit of love that your husband, that your son gave, and now you feel I've taken away Yaakov already, fine. Fine, I really want these mandrakes. So Rashi says, Olakachtech gamez dudoy bni. You should read this, Rashi says, with a question mark, an exclamation mark. Bitmiya, with our wonder. You also want to take the mandrakes? You got to be kidding. Lasseis oizois, that too you want to do? Likach gamez dudoy bni. You want to soak up the little bit of attention I get from my son also? Rashi says, "Velakachas" doesn't mean physically to take, but it means, the Targum says, "Ulemesav." When you're seeking to acquire, you're seeking to have. Not like you took them already. That's what you're looking for. So Rachel says, "Fine, okay. So he'll be with you tonight." Shali ha'isa shchivas laila zu. He was supposed to come home. He was spending a night with me. Anina senes loch tachas dudoy b'nech. Here's the deal. You give me the mandrakes, and you get Yaakov. Rashi says something very chilling here. He says, because Rachel was flippant about spending time with Yaakov, who was such a big tzaddik, this could have been one of the reasons that ultimately she did not merit to get buried together with Yaakov, and she's buried, of course, on the road. It's a difficult Rashi to understand because we have much bigger reasons for Rachel being married on the road, and ultimately that's Rachel's destiny, and that's how Rachel's able to affect the future. So, but that's what Rashi says.
And wasn't it because of the fact that she was hiding the trephim from her father? And
that says also, there's a number of different things that says. It seems this is a complex composite of many different reasons. Mm-hmm. Now, it should be noted that the mandrakes were not just ordinary flowers, that the mandrakes would be made into a potion for fertility. And knowing that his mother wanted to have more children, talk about kids knowing everything. So Reuven decided to go and get these mandrakes so that it wouldn't help his mother to have more children. And then Rachel says, I want the mandrakes. And Leah says, all I have is children. I don't have love. My husband doesn't really love me, he loves you. Well, the only attention I get is because I have children. And now you want to take that away from me too? So Rachel thinking, fine, I really want to have those children. It's kind of at flowers. If this is what's going to do it, then give me those mandrakes and I'll have that potion. Now, how and why would this potion work? That's a really good question. So the Ibn Ezra says that the mandrake looks like a little stick person. And he says, I cannot for the life of me understand how that would help somebody conceive. But that's what he heard. That it looks like a little person, and because it looks like a little person or a little fetus, somehow it's helpful for the notion of fertility. That's what seems. It seems to be a grinding and drinking thing. The Radak says it's likely old wives' tales But he said, that's what people thought. People were convinced. And the truth is, we know today that if somebody's mind thinks something, so that's the placebo effect. So whether or not it actually works is irrelevant. It works. Why? Because placebo-wise, it has an effect on somebody. So at any rate, whether this is a placebo or real, this is what she wanted. Now, there are others who maintain, Ramban says that the notion of the mandrakes was an aphrodisiac of antiquity, that had some kind of scent or some kind of smell, and that, you know, would somehow, it would bring the togetherness that could result in a child. And Ramban says that Leah said to Rachel, what am I, like the maidservant over here? That's what you make me out to be. It's like, you're the wife and I'm the maidservant. And you want to take, give me the mandrakes. That's not fair. At any rate, that's what happened. And as a result, Vayova Yaakov min Asada, verse 16, Yaakov comes from the field, but of an evening, Vatetze Leah, Leah goes out, Lekrosse, to greet him. And she intercepts him and says, no, no, you're not going to Rachel tonight. I tell him, Eli Tova, you're coming with me. Ki sochar sichaticha. I paid for this. I got you rented for mandrakes. A yishkav ima balailahu. And so he was with her on that night. Sochar sichaticha, Rashi says, yeah, very simple. Nasati l'Rachel schara. I gave Rachel, I paid her off. I gave her a reward. I gave her mandrakes. Balaila hu? What do you mean balaila hu? As if to some kind of a, that night. Doesn't it say balaila hahu, on that night? What's balaila hu? So Rashi says, who? Who's who? Who is he? Hashem. Has nothing to do with it. Forget the Abed and Costello thing. Who?
Balaila hu.
Who is he? Who? That's him. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, Hashem was, so to speak...
The word Balaila is modifying who, yeah. So...
I know, but it says Balaila Hahu, right. On that night. It says Balaila Hu. Yeah.
Okay.
So who is he? And he is God. In other words, that he had divine intervention here. This is a special help from Hashem, and the help was that Yotza Mimenu Yisachar, that Yisachar, who was the father of the tribe, who had great love for Torah, was born. Vayishma Elikim, verse 17, tells us God heard the prayers of Leah. Vatar, she became pregnant. Vatelid, and she gave birth to Yaakov ben Chamishi, a fifth son. Vatomer Leah, and Leah said, Nasan Elikim Schari, God has given me, has remunerated me, recompensed me. Ashenosati Shivchasi Liishi, she doesn't say, this is not payment for mandrakes. She says, this is payment for having given my maidservant to Yaakov. She brought Zilpah into her house. And she did this to try to mimic what Sarah did when Sarah wanted to have children, because she wanted more children. So she said, it worked. And I got rewarded. And I have now another child. Because she said, it comes from the word Schari, Ashenasate Shivchasi Leishi, Vatikra Shmoi, she therefore called his name Yisachar. Now you see, Yisachar is spelled with two shins, with two sins. Now there are those who mispronounce this purposely, especially Polish Yidden, they call it Yisachar. But that's not the name. The name is Yisachar. And the question is actually, why do we end up with two shins in Yisachar? So there are a number of different reasons that are given. One reason is that there was actually a double renting over here. Because when Leah goes out to greet Yaakov in the field, she says, Sochar Sechartikha. I paid for your services, if you will. And then she said, I got repaid for having given Zilpah. But since there's two notions of schar, so that's why the second one is silent. The second one is silent because she didn't want to say, oh yeah, I paid for it. I paid a mandrakes. So because the main thing, the thing that she publicized was giving Zilpah, so therefore the second sin is silent. That's what the idea of the two sins, it represents the double notion of, so to speak, the concept of the rental. And the Daz Zakenim says that the two shins, it's not about her quote unquote renting Yaakov, but about Hashem rewarding her, that she was kind to Zilpah and that she was kind to Rachel. So that's how she felt. She felt rewarded. She felt that she had gone out of her way and she had received a reward. The Rebbe's father says a very interesting thing. We know that Yisachar is the one who fathers the tribe that has great love, devotion for Torah. And the Torah is divided in really two dimensions. There's the exoteric part of Torah, what's called Nigla de Torah, the revealed areas of Torah, and then there is Nister, the esoteric part of Torah. The esoteric part of Torah is esoteric, it's secret. So here we have a silent shin representing the secret, a silent part of Torah.
That's clever.
Yeah, it's pretty clever. And of course, he was a great Kabbalist. So. At any rate, that was Ablevich's teaching. So this is why she calls him Yisachar. It means schar, but there's multiple messages included into the silent shin. Vatahar oid, the Torah says she then became pregnant again. Vatelud ben Shishi liYaakov, she gave birth to a sixth son. Vatoimer, and she said when she gave birth to a sixth son, she said, oh, this is special. Zvadani elikim oisi, God has zvadanied me. What is zvadani? We'll see what that means in a minute. And he's given me a zeved toiv. Hapam yizbeleni. Now, my husband will yizbeleni. Why? Ki oladati loy shisha banim, because I have given birth to six children. Vatikra shmoi zvulun. So zvulun seems to be a permutation of yizbeleni. So it's probably a good idea for us to find out the meaning of zvadani and zeved and yizbeleni so we can appreciate the name zvulun. Probably a good idea. All right. So first of all, it says that Hashem heard Leah's prayer in verse 17. And Rashi says, what was her prayer? We don't find that she davened anywhere. Doesn't say that vatispala Leah. Doesn't say she made any special entreaty. Doesn't say she made a special request. So why does it say Hashem listened to her prayer? So Rashi says, shehoisa mis'aveh umachazeres lahabesh vatim. That was, in general, her attitude. She just wanted to have more children. She desperately wanted to bring children into the world. So if she's a tzidkanis and she wants to bring children into the world, surely she must have been praying. It's a given. Self-understood. Zeved toiv. So Rashi says, look in the Targum. Look in Unkelus. Unkelus says, chulak tav. A good portion. That's how Rashi reads. So it says, she says, zvadani alikim, God has given me a good portion or a superlative portion in her husband's household. Why? Because now she has given birth to half of the Shvatim. She knew there's going to be 12 tribes. And it's four wives. Half of them come from her. So she said, this is a very good portion. And because God has given me this good portion, Yizbeleni Ishi. My husband's going to Yizbeleni. What does Yizbeleni mean? So Rashi says that Yizbeleni is Lashain Beis Zvul. It comes from the notion of abode or dwelling. That's the meaning of Yizbeleni. And he gives us a French word. I don't know what that means. So he says the French word, the idea of abode, is base mother, a place where one dwells. And she said, Me oilam me'ata, pardon me, loitehei ikir di rasei ela imi. From now on, his primary dwelling will only be with me. Sheyesh li banim keneged kol nashav. I have children corresponding to everybody else, because there's only going to be 12. Now, with regard to the notion of Yizbeleni, Rashi puts it as a dwelling place. Not everybody agrees with this. There's the notion, first of all, of a Zeved Toiv, according to the Psad Yigon, is a good benefaction. He's given me something extra. It's not so much an emphasis of a portion. But some of the Mefarshim maintain that the idea of Yizbeleni is that from now on, there will be this sense of, it's not like Rashi, but the Malbim puts it this way. He says, he'll always be found with my children. He's got six kids, he's got help with the kids. So it's not so much Yizbeleni that he'll be with me, but he'll be with my children. So automatically, if my children, and she's the mother, she's raising the children, automatically he'll be with me. It's almost like more of an emphasis on the fact that all the children are there rather than
household,
right, household rather than yeah, her as house. At any rate, it is clear that the notion means dwelling and that Yaakov, for one reason or another, is going to spend the most time with Leah. So now we're going to...
Isn't it like the emphasis on the word Zevet more so than Yizbeleni? And like, why don't you call him Zvudun as opposed to Zvudun or something?
No, so let's, Nathan, bounce your question back. You're asking, isn't the emphasis on Zeved?
Right.
Yeah. And if the emphasis was on Zeved, his name should have been Zvudun.
Zvudun.
Or Zvuduni.
That's exactly my question.
Right. But since that's not his name, clearly what's the emphasis on?
He's blaming. But something doesn't jive, really.
It does jive. Leah's saying two things here. She's saying, I have a good portion. As a result of this good portion, as a result of having six children or half the brood, as a result of this, what will happen? Yizbeleni. As a result, he will be with me. So you want to look at causes or effects? For Leah, the most important thing was the effect. It was the good portion, which would cause the Yizbeleni.
But often the names, I'm not disputing, but often the names have an emphasis on Hashem, right? And Hashem, one of Hashem's names is Zed, Zayin, Vav, Dalet, Yud, Hey. So wouldn't, like, Zeved, you know, somehow be incorporated into the name as opposed to...
You want God's name or you want God's dwelling? So listen to this before you ask that question. That's a good point. Zvadya is a name of Hashem, right? And we say it on every single Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, very good. But the thing is that Yizbeleni, or Beit Zvul, represents the presence of God Himself. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash is called the Beit Zvul. It means that which hosts the presence of God. Take a look here on page Ayin Gimel. This will help you appreciate the name that Zvulun got and why the emphasis isn't on Zvudun, but Zvulun. Page Ayin Gimel, Simuch Chav Zayin. So we're going to begin here with a quote from the great Rabbeinu Moshe Alshech in the bold print. The Alshech says, Zvulun hu achsanya l'Torah. Zvulun is the host. He hosts the Torah. He hosts the Torah. And the Torah is called Tov. So you were worried about the Zeved, which is a portion. What kind of portion? A Zeved Tov. Who hosts the good portion? Zvulun. Hence the name Zvulun, as in Yizbeleni, the host. Shehu Zon as Yisachar. He provides sustenance for Yisachar. That's the famous deal. Yisachar studies Torah, while Zvulun makes sure that he's able to do so. Yisachar is proverbial Yoshev Aholim, the tent dweller. We know with Yaakov, when he was an Ishtam Yoshev Aholim, means he was studious. V'lachein, therefore, kishem shebeben ze yeshachsan yelateira, just like this child brings about a dwelling of Torah, Hashem achsanya shaloi, which in that achsanya, and that host, when you're hosting Torah, ultimately, what are you hosting? Shechina, the presence of God. Kinoida, kein yizbeleni ishi. So Leah says, it's not about a household. It's not even about appreciating the fact that I have six of the children, as Rashi said. But according to the Alshech, yizbeleni ishi, because I get to host the Zeved Tov, because I get to host the Torah, and Yaakov represents Torah. Avram represents Gemilas Chasadim. Yitzchak represents Avodah or Tefillah. And Yaakov represents Torah. He has the greatest appreciation for Torah. So Yaakov, who represents and appreciates Torah, he will be hosted now by Zvulun. Zvulun enables, hosts the Torah. I just had the baby who hosts the Torah. Yaakov will be with me. That's why there's emphasis on Yizbeleni. So what's the most obvious question? You're saying that Leah takes pride in the future destiny of her children as being the hosts of the Torah. We just read about the fifth and sixth children.
What about the one who studies Torah?
Yisachar and Zvulun. Zvulun is the one who hosts the Torah because he pays for it. But who actually studies the Torah?
Yisachar.
So she should have named Yisachar Zvulun. Yisachar's name means money. And Zvulun's name means dwelling, Hashem's dwelling. Should have been the other way around. Yisachar's name means reward, and Zvulun's name means the dwelling place. So the Rebbe says, I don't understand. Zvulun is the one who hosts the Torah. Yes, indeed, Zvulun is Zonu Mefarnes. Zvulun provides so that Yisachar could study the Torah. But why should Zvulun be the Achsanya, the host of Torah? Yisachar should be the host of Torah. So the Rebbe says something unbelievable. And it's a big shot in the arm for everybody around this table. Cool. Rebbe says that Zvulun's the business person, right? He's the accountant, he's the handler, He's the merchant. He's selling diamonds. He's drilling teeth. He's busy, you know. He's
financier.
He's doing stuff, right? What does that mean? He doesn't learn Torah? Oh, I don't learn Torah. I just do business. Look at all of you sitting here in the morning learning Torah. So, yeah, you're in business. Yes, you're learning Torah. So it's not as if people think Yisachar learned Torah and Zvulun did business. Zvulun was an observant Jew. Observant Jew, he was a pious Jew. What do you think? He didn't study Torah. Had a gam bal esek tzarich likvaya itim l'Torah. According to the Shulchan Aruch, a bal esek, a person who's engaged in making a living, turning a buck, he also has to study Torah, even if he's supporting Torah. A friend of mine once said, he said to one of our colleagues who didn't go on shlichus, who didn't do what we do, he said, "You're in business?" So the guy said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, are you making a lot of money?" And our friend said, "Whatever, make a living." He said, "If you're not making a lot of money, you have no business being in business." You should have been a shliach, he said. He said, if you're in business, then make money. In other words, but even the person who's in business to make money, he makes money. He doesn't just provide. He gives tzedakah. He's a supporter of the community. Very nice. You don't study Torah. You have to study Torah. And here the Rebbe says something amazing. Do you know what the achsanya l'Torah is? Do you know what the real host of the Torah is? The person who doesn't spend Torah, have time to study Torah all day. The person who makes time to study Torah, that's the host of the Torah. Limud haTorah shel yoshevei oyel, the limud haTorah of the person who is, well, that's what he does. Einei meluva behismoydidius ubenisyernis yobale asakam. Doesn't come along with the same challenges, same difficulties. What else should he do? He sits in a kol all day. Of course he's going to study Torah. He's got to keep himself employed. He's got to keep himself gamefully active. He studies Torah. This limud, that kind of learning, is not really a kvius. It's not like something which is, if you will, affixed in the soul. A kvius, a Torah study which is affixed, which reaches into the deepest rungs of the soul, this is the Torah study that comes from the Baal Esek. The person who studies Torah anyway, well, he studies Torah anyway. That's what he does. It's not who he is. But the person who's a Baal Esek, which Iker Isukam is Maso Matan. His primary thing, at least if you look at the time that he spends quantitatively, not qualitatively, the primary focus is on business, on commerce. The Imzais, and despite all of this, Makpidim Hem B'Tekif, they are very, very insistent and with great devotion that Torah will be studied nonetheless, affixing times for Torah study and prayer. He Hamavatas Es Hanitzchi Es Shebelimud HaTorah. That expresses the real devotion to Torah. If somebody is doing this Torah, doing Torah study, it's what he does. It's not who he is. If somebody doesn't do Torah study, he does business, he does a profession, he does whatever he does, but he still makes sure, despite the fact that it's not what he does, to study Torah, then that becomes who he is. And so the Torah study, albeit quantitatively occupying only a small amount of space in the business person's calendar, in the business person's time, ultimately represents the deeper devotion and the deeper commitment to the study of Torah. And that's why Zevulun is named Zevulun. He is the Achsanya LaTorah. You are the Achsanya LaTorah. You made the effort to come out. You start the day off, you're studying Torah. You're going to find time during your day to steal a few minutes and study Torah. That, my dear friends, is what it's really all about. Because ultimately, Yiddishkeit and Torah is not something we do, but it has to be who we are.
So the business man who studies Torah.